And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the first things I teach my freshmen in sociology is that there are many ways to be right. There are many ways to look at the same thing, see differences in nuance, and even different levels and areas of truth. Often these different perspectives have more to do with the scope of the view than the nature of what is seen. We talk, for example, about macro perspectives, big picture ways of looking at the world, comparing infant mortality rates from country to country, comparing the unemployment rate from state to state, or the teenage pregnancy rate from county to county, macro, big picture kinds of perspectives. As compared to people in a room, kind of a micro, small group together, face to face, one on one, experiencing many of the same joys and concerns. Infant mortality, unemployment, teenage pregnancy, face-to-face, one-on-one. And the learnings and the insights are different. The Christian message comes to us in various perspectives. Macro, big picture. I think that's the Easter story. Jesus comes to life, does his ministry, was crucified, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day. And now it's up to everybody to tell the story, to spread the word throughout all corners of the earth. It's a big picture story, and lest we miss that, there's this heartbreaking little moment in the garden when Jesus and Mary Magdalene encounter one another. And when Mary discovers who it is, she wants to throw herself in his arms, and he says, The time for that is past. Go and tell the story. It's beyond one-on-one. Which is why we have Christmas, the micro-level story. Must have been an enormous amount of preparation going on ahead of time. getting the star just right, putting the impulse, if not the word, in the minds of shepherds, perhaps even the innkeeper. Figuring out a way for Mary and Joseph to sell the story of this virgin birth to, among others, her father, not to mention the ruling authorities in church and state. The timing of it was inconvenient, for they needed to go to where the tax must be paid, which was a long journey. Great with child she was, riding on a donkey. And then when they get there, of course, there is no room, and so on and so on and so on. And the child is born and arrives more or less safely, and the shepherds come and the angels sing. And I imagine yet another moment. Maybe Joseph is asleep and Mary has been asleep, and the child awakens for the next feeding, which she attends to. And the child is fed and falls asleep in her arms. And there's nobody else around. And it's just Jesus and Mary, one-on-one. My hope, my faith, my guess is simply this, that at that moment, she knew it was worth it. She'd been briefed, I suspect, as to what the story would become. But the story at that moment was just the two of them, one-on-one, experiencing the blessing of this miracle. Which is how I think we all experience the blessing of the miracle when we get it. When we get it most clearly. I think almost allegorically of a guy I knew when I was training to be a chaplain at the University of Chicago. He was training at the time to be a surgeon. He was new at it, and so was I, and we were both a little sore afraid, I have to tell you, about the nature of our jobs, his of somewhat greater consequence than mine. And we were not good friends, but just passing acquaintances, colleagues and comrades in arms, and he was on call one night, and so was I. And he was having an especially brutal night for a first-year surgical resident. Things were going haywire in the emergency room, and when he wasn't tending to crises there, he was back on his surgical floor tending to surgical patients who were going bad. And he needed to attend to them and go back to the ER and so on. We'd made arrangements to meet for a cup of coffee about 3:30 in the morning. And I knew he had been busy and he knew I had been busy, sometimes doing some of the same type of work with the same people. But I paged him at 3:30 and he answered and he told me where he was, and I was a little surprised, but I thought, well, you know, anything can happen anywhere. So I went to find him. This first year surgical resident was in the well baby nursery. And he wasn't doing his thing as a surgeon. He was doing his thing as a human being. After so much drama and trauma, for just a moment, he had apparently gone into the well baby nursery and said to the head nurse, "I want to hold something that is healthy and well and alive." And I found him rocking a baby. And we hadn't talked more than a minute or two, and his beeper went off, and off he went to do the next thing. And I held the baby for a while. But it was enough. One-on-one, it was enough to get him through the night, I suspect through the rigors of surgical residency, a metaphor for the miracle of Christmas. It's always one-on-one. I'm at a stage of my life when I don't need very much in the way of Christmas presents, which is not to say that I don't enjoy it thoroughly when somebody gives me a whole bunch of stuff I don't need, especially toys. All I really need is what all of us need all the time, but especially perhaps when the lights and the message and the miracle of Christmas really need to hit home. We need a moment. It doesn't take much. A moment, one-on-one, with someone who loves us, to simply let it be so. Maybe it's a letter you got from someone you hadn't heard from, a gift you haven't reciprocated. Maybe it's in the exchanging of a gift with someone you love and who loves you that you've decided to wait until everybody else is gone and we'll exchange this one just ourselves in private. Or maybe you're lucky enough, as we are in our home this week, to have our newest member, Willie and Luann, just around the house. And every day, for a moment or two, she's swaddled up and sound asleep in one or the other of our arms. Now, she's a lot of other things, too. But every single day, we are blessed with a moment, one-on-one, of holding a snoring, snuffly baby. And nothing quite smells like a child's head when it's close to you. And it's enough. It's enough so that we know it's true, that the Word always becomes flesh and dwells among us and is most powerful one-on-one. Merry Christmas.